This was a cop where we were visible, but not empowered, end quote. Though some small wins were accomplished at the summit, including a land acknowledgement at the beginning of the main political document, there were no tangible wins against fossil fuels. Hopes were high to create a plan to phase out fossil fuels, but no such plans were solidified or agreed upon. Mindaugas Bastida, an Atomic Tolmek member of a Wisdom Keepers delegation, wished that countries had pushed harder to phase out oil, gas, and coal, and to, quote, not see nature as merchandise, but to see it as sacred, end quote.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Monday, November 24th, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Dave Johnson and Josh Salem. The producer is Hannah Francis, and our engineer is Jasmine Moss. Special thanks to Antonio Gonzalez, Isabel Charley, Farah Siddiqui, and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Cheryl Denise.
And I'm Dave Johnson. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth.
Whose streets?
Our streets.
Whose streets?
Our streets.
Whose streets?
Our streets.
Young black vulnerable, lower your agility. This moment is pivotal. Crucial, critical, while opponent is intentional. Brutally criminal to be truthful. Our response has been useful and pitiful. Community defense happens when we control the city.
Indivisible and 5051 held a community gathering Saturday at Tom McCall Waterfront Park at the Battleship Oregon Memorial. Protesters gathered at the waterfront to, quote, march for democracy in defiance of recent enforcement actions on our local immigrant community. KB was on hand to talk with a few of the protesters who braved the chilly temperatures to speak truth to power. We caught up with Sandy Chung with the Oregon ACLU.
I'm Sandy Chung. I'm executive director of the ACLU of Oregon. I'm out here to be part of the resistance to let President Trump know that there is strong dissent across this country with his politics of hate, division, and cruelty, especially against our immigrant and refugee neighbors, our trans family members, and anyone that they're labeling a dissenter. So we want to make sure that we tell the federal government we disagree with their horrible policies right now. Another thing that I'm out here doing today with a whole bunch of my teammates and volunteers, we have an Equal Rights for All constitutional change ballot measure campaign. With this, we're trying to strengthen the Oregon Constitution to protect the rights to abortion and reproductive health, like IVF, trans rights and related healthcare decisions, and same-sex marriage. I'm collecting signatures from folks, from registered Oregon voters, to get this on the ballot in November 2026. So this is a very important ballot measure campaign, because right now we know our rights and fundamental freedoms are under attack, so we need to protect them in Oregon. So in Oregon, we do have to collect live signatures at in-person events. So we will be at protests and other places across Oregon. People can also connect with us in terms of volunteering or throwing a house party to share information about their campaign with their neighbors. They can go to equalrightsoregon.com.
According to event organizers, the event marked the start of a full week of local actions focused on community connection, creative resistance, and collective care.
You know, go to your local restaurants, and you know, actually a lot of our friends here in Portland.
Hi, I'm Dave with KBOOK Community Radio, and was wondering what brought you out today.
The whole tyranny and destruction that's going on from our federal government. The fact that our president actually called a woman reporter piggy and told her to be quiet is just one of the latest things. The bombing of the boats coming from Venezuela, the whole Ukrainian peace talks and plan that's going to put the United States and Russia in control of everything. I don't even know where to start. This is my community here, and friends and people who have like minds and want to make a change and get out here and show that we're determined to do it.
Can you describe the outfit that you're wearing today?
It's the Portland Frog. Just kind of brand new to me. So, yes, to show support that we're not violent, we're not causing riots, we're here with love and joy and frogs and unicorns and I don't know all what out chickens and everything else that's out here.
I'm Dave Johnson hanging out with the frogs here at the Waterfront Park.
Thanks. Oh, the same as what Barbie
said. Thank you so
said.
Much, I love you so much.
Really amazed at how this behavior from
chosen family, blood
the
family,
top of
friends,
the government and those
senior.
That follow
abrazos, besitos,
considered, I don't want it to be normalized. And so we have this thank opportunity you. To come out and show that we don't accept it, we don't appreciate it, and it's not normal, and so people are going to be coming out as often as we need to in order to ensure that people know that it's not normal, we don't accept it, and we're not going to continue to put up with it.
Can you tell me a little about what you're wearing, your name, and what brought you out today?
My name's TJ, and I've got a anglerfish I'm wearing here, and just come down to join the crowd. I've been to all of the protests this summer, and will continue to do so throughout the next
our
year.
Next guest is speaking about the importance.
Hi, I'm Dave with KBOOK Community Radio. Can you give me your name and maybe just a little bit about what brought you out today?
Well, my name is Kathleen Jones, and I'm here for a lot of reasons.
She has been organizing hospital workers for the
basically,
past
there's
years.
A lot of problems that are all down to one problem in our society. And so year. We're here to push
Jenny,
back.
The only solution is organizing
thank you so much.
For
yeah,
a new
you.
System.
All right, let's get that energy up, everybody.
Hi, I'm Dave with KBOOK Community Radio. And can you give me your name and just a little bit about what brought you out this morning?
I'm Miro Lund from Port Townsend, Washington. And after seeing No King's Day last October in Portland, I petitioned anyone I could find on social media involved with Portland's organization of rallies down here to bring my sound system. So Indivisible reached out, and today I get the honor to bring the clarity of everyone's voice to this crowd.
Over a million people, but 44 days.
Why? What brought you out this morning?
I'm Linda, and I wanted to attend the protest today and the march just because I'm here for democracy, as is everybody else. And today we're talking about so many of the important issues that everybody's facing.
You have some signs in front of you here. Can you describe them for me?
Well, one of them talks about how Trump helped sex criminals. He was best friends with Jeffrey Epstein. The one below that says he's never been concerned about his or Epstein's victims. The other side says grungy old predators. And the bottom one says release Epstein files. Yeah, that's half of my son.
Hi, I'm Dave with KBOOK Community Radio. Can you give me your name and a little bit about why you're here today?
My name is Lauren. And I'm here because as a six-year submarine naval veteran and father of two children, both a daughter and a son, one who is, hasn't told me yet, but I know wouldn't make his grandfather happy with his lifestyle choices. I completely support. So I got to come down here and be a voice, because if not me, who? And I know that when they come for one, they come for all. I'm also fully aware that this is not a left and right situation. This is an up and down situation. People are blind. They want to be on these teams, blue, red, left, right, and that's all. None of that's real. That's fabricated. What's real is the people around you and their needs. The people around me, they need homes. They need shelter. They need food. They need love and they need care by people who have been in power longer than my wife has been alive. Why are we allowing these people, left and right, to stay in power for that long? We know that they've got to be behind the doors, shaking each other's hands. Oh, ha, 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 we're pulling the wool over the people's eyes. When we go out there, let's fight. But it's really the billionaires. It's the people in power who are entrenched in power for 40 years now. On top of that, we know there's corruption because of the lobbying. So we need to stop lobbyists. We need to put in term limits. We need to feed our people. Getting rid of SNAP was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Because regardless of whether or not somebody's selling it to a drug dealer for, you know, $100 for on the 50, so they lose money, whether or not they're buying candy with it, none of that matters to me. Because if you look at it as a capitalist country, it's a dollar investment that is a $1.80 in GDP growth. That means an 80% return on your investment. Who in their right mind gives up an 80% return on investment? Only people who are trying to be cruel and hurt people. And I don't care if it's the left or the right who shut the government down. The government was shut down by the government, and the government works for us. So they all need to be kicked out, every single one of them. We can start fresh. It doesn't matter. I shouldn't be in charge. I'm 40 years old. I want to see the 30-year-olds, and I want to see the 20-year-olds standing up and taking power and saying, not anymore. We need a new future, and I'm here to support that new future and those leaders.
Events run through December 1st. Last Saturday, the rally was part of a nationwide Remove the Regime protest. Protesters used humor and costumes to get across a clear message to the Trump administration. The demonstrations were aimed at protesting what organizers described as escalating drift toward authoritarian governance and the authoritarian policies of President Donald Trump. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Dave Johnson.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings. I'm joined today by Amanda Gao, Executive Director of Bendable Therapy, to talk about a new preliminary study from the nonprofit Psilocybin Service Center that demonstrates that therapy significantly improves symptoms of depression and anxiety. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. To start, tell me a little bit about Bendable Therapy. What all do you do there?
Yeah, so we are a mental health agency, and we also have a psilocybin wellness program. So we have kind of two sides to the agency. One is our nonprofit, and then we have the licensed service center as well.
So Bendable helped to do a study of outcomes for folks using psilocybin therapy. Tell me about that. How was that set up? What did that look like?
Yeah, so basically our study design was to describe mental health characteristics and measure the effects of psilocybin sessions on self-reported mood, anxiety, and a sense of well-being. So really looking at depression, anxiety, and overall well-being. Any of our clients that came to Bendable were offered the opportunity to participate in the study. And so 86% of people who came to Bendable chose to participate, and which was really exciting. So we had 88 people who fully completed the study protocol. And the duration was from March 2024 to April 2025. So this was an approved study by an institutional review board. And so we were really excited to be able to kind of collect data from folks. And we were super thankful that we had so many participants who were willing to donate their information to science. And we really just looked at, again, self-reported free report on depression, anxiety, and overall well-being. And then after the psilocybin session, we took, we had participants fill out the same surveys at 1 week post and at 30 days post-psilocybin session as well.
What were some of the major findings?
Yeah, so it was really exciting. So we, and again, this is through the bendable therapy model. So our program is a robust psilocybin-assisted therapy program, so which is a little bit different than maybe some other places in the state of Oregon. So we have a comprehensive preparation and integration protocol. So through this, though, is what we found is that our findings through this one specific study were on par with those that we saw in clinical trials. So there's been a lot of curiosity of, will psilocybin be as effective on mental health outcomes as it was in what we've seen in the clinical trials. So we're very promising and everybody was very excited. I think there's been a lot of buzz around, or at least I feel like there's been a lot of buzz around, like, okay, these clinical studies have gone really well, but will that translate to what, like, I fondly refer to as, like, in the wild? So, and again, clinical trials have very rigorous standards for acceptance. So participants are very carefully screened. There's a lot of rule outs. And so with our program, we really have a much broader and diverse group of people who came through the program, which included 47% of the study participants were on a mental health medication at the time of their psilocybin session, which it is not something that the clinical trials allowed. You would have to be completely free of your mental health medications, have done a med taper on your antidepressants or anti-anxiety meds, which for many folks is not possible. So what was really exciting was to see that at 30 days post-psilocybin session, that there was a statistically significant reduction in anxiety and depression and a statistically significant improvement in overall well-being. And again, these are self-report for these 88 participants, but that's really exciting to see that at 30 days, people are having such a dramatic shift in their anxiety and depression symptoms and an overwhelmingly increase in their overall well-being at 30 days. And again, this was with 47% of people on mental health medications at the time of dosing, and they're those folks, that cohort of folks who were on a mental health medication, did the exact same. So they also saw statistically significant improvement in depression and anxiety and overall well-being. So it was really exciting to see that the results mirrored a lot of what we've seen in clinical trials, and it translated to a more diverse population of people, like, you know, the average person who may be seeking psilocybin services for support of their mental health.
Why is it that clinical trials typically exclude people who are on other mental health medications?
Yeah, so typically the clinical trials will exclude folks who are on a mental health medication because they don't want something else interfering with the outcomes. So that would be, you know, if somebody was on a mental health medication and a psilocybin session, it's like, okay, in a clinical setting, you know, what was the factor that caused the improvement? And then also, clinical trials have a uniform dosing protocol, meaning that every person in a clinical trial receives the same dosage level of psilocybin. And so for folks who are on a mental health medication, there are some people who potentially will have what's called a blunting effect. So they want to exclude those folks to, you know, to keep the study clean, basically. So in Oregon, we have the ability to do a variable dosing protocol, which means that each person's psilocybin dose can be tailored specifically to their needs.
Are there other things that are unique about this study?
We were able to gather, you know, the demographics of folks who were coming to psilocybin sessions. So again, like, these, we did not recruit anybody. These are just people who were coming to the bendable therapy program. So it was exciting to see that there were, like, kind of the range of folks that came into bendable. We also often provide scholarships and financial support for folks to come through bendable. That's been, you know, part of our nonprofit mission, was to help make these services accessible for folks. So we did get a more diverse population for across the board because of our unique model. More research is definitely needed. This is just a start, but it is a hopeful start. So I'm looking forward to seeing other studies that are going to be conducted in Oregon and Colorado, because they now have legal psilocybin services as well. So it'll be exciting to kind of see how our study stacks up to others that are going to be taking place. But it was exciting to be the first to publish kind of this broad data. And again, it just gives us more information. And I think with psilocybin, you know, being this new tool to support mental health we're really excited that hopefully this will encourage mental health professionals and medical professionals and individuals to have more robust dialogue around the potential of psilocybin being an effective tool for somebody's mental health goals.
Well, I understand that there are some next steps now that this data is collected. What happens now?
Yeah, so we are in the process of writing our first manuscript, and we hope to have that published by the end of the year. So that'll be really exciting to contribute to the body of scientific evidence around psilocybin and the efficacy in mental health. So we are currently just working on our first publication, and then we have several other publications planned over the course of 2026.
You mentioned this a little bit, but what other sorts of questions might researchers ask coming off of what Bendable was able to find in this study? Like, what else might be interesting?
Well, it may be interesting to see if other models that don't have the same support as Bendable, to see how folks do in a more pared-down model. Again, ours is more of a robust psilocybin-assisted therapy program, so it'll be curious to see, you know, how different models throughout the state where people are accessing services, if it still compares, if the benefits are still there. So that could be a curiosity. And then I think that we just are all really curious to see, you know, bigger studies being done and other studies, just to see if we're continually seeing, you know, psilocybin have this improvement on mental health.
You mentioned the comprehensive preparation and integration process. Can you tell me a little bit about what that looks like?
Yeah, so for us, when somebody comes to Bendable, typically they will sign up for one of our free consultations where we'll discuss their individual needs, goals, and interests, and then help support them to make a decision if they'd like to move forward. Then if they do choose to move forward, we have a comprehensive intake program application and intake process, and then where we use that information to match a person with the right facilitator to meet their needs. And then once they are matched with one of our trained facilitators, they will have typically around 4 prep sessions before their psilocybin dosing session. And then after their psilocybin dosing session, which is a 1-day full event, they will have what's called integration sessions. And so we have one-on-one integration, and then we have ongoing small integration groups for Bendable participants every Monday, where it's like small groups of folks who can come and get support. And the other thing that kind of makes Bendable unique is that we are all a duly licensed staff. So many of us are also mental health professionals in addition to psilocybin facilitators.
What might you hope folks at home take away from this study?
I really hope that people look at the study and think about if this may be something that would be an effective tool for them. I'm hoping that people will bring this study to their trusted mental health professionals or their doctors and have a conversation. I'm hoping that, you know, people will be compelled to call us and get more information to say, hey, maybe this might be an effective tool for me. And I really want it to spark dialogue. And I'm hoping that especially with our study having so many folks who are on a mental health medication, that it will encourage mental health providers and medical professionals to understand the model a little bit, because I think that there's a lot of worry about asking clients to discontinue mental health medications that were previously working for them to try kind of one of these new interventions. So hopefully, as people become aware that it's not necessary to come off of your mental health medications, and that we actually strongly encourage people to continue seeing their mental health professionals and their medical providers before, during, and after these sessions, so that our programs are designed to be complementary to somebody's already existing mental health program as another tool in their toolbox. So I'm hoping that this sparks a lot of conversations amongst providers and individuals to see if this might be a tool that could be helpful for them.
If our listeners are interested in knowing more, do you have any resources you'd recommend?
Yeah, so I think just visiting our website, bendabletherapy.org, is a great place to start. People can go on there and look at our research. They can like watch videos of people who have come through psilocybin sessions. They can read our bios. They can learn a little bit more in our FAQ about what psilocybin is and what it isn't. So, you know, hopefully, you know, people can get, you know, go to our website and get a lot more information. Oh, and then one thing I did forget to mention that was kind of exciting about the study is that throughout the study, we had zero adverse events take place. So not only did we see that this was very effective at treating depression and anxiety, but it also had a high safety profile. So I think when you can come through a study and have zero reportable adverse events, that hopefully that gives people a sense of safety and security and thinking about that this may be a tool that they could use.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for your interest and for covering this. We're really excited to be able to share this information.
That was Amanda Gao, Executive Director of Bendable Therapy, speaking with me about a preliminary study from the nonprofit Psilocybin Service Center that demonstrates that psilocybin therapy significantly improves symptoms of depression and anxiety. You've been listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea. Thank you.
are tuned to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
What does the average KBOO listener think of self-help radio?
This is so hard and complicated.
I have no idea what it is.
What's this old-time music?
I feel so proud of myself.
It seems kind of worthless.
Why does